From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Cars don't drive themselves. Not yet, anyway. Somebody has to be in charge of those 2,000 pounds of metal hurtling down the highway. Since cars first hit the road, drivers have sometimes taken their eyes off the road to reach for the French fries or to rubberneck. But now, like never before, distracted driving is the new normal. We can't keep our hands and eyes off our smartphones, and people are getting killed. This hour On Point, the new epidemic of distracted driving and what to do about it. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is that you, texting away while you drive? From cheeseburgers to mascara to Candy Crush, are we doing everything but focusing on the road? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Here's a Department of Transportation ad put out trying to get people to think and act differently when they're driving. Shows a group of friends playing a word game while driving. Then the driver decides to answer a text.
How many letters?
5 letters.
Just think about what am I doing right now?
Smile.
Smile?
Uh-huh. This is so easy.
Nobody likes to be stopped by the police. But if I'd seen her texting while driving and given her a ticket, it just might have saved her life.
Bummer, a PSA from the Department of Transportation, but there's distracted driving going on all over the place. It is not hard to see. Joining me first today from Ann Arbor, Michigan, is Eric Tingwall, technical director for Car and Driver magazine. He's been watching how smartphones have made dangerous drivers. Eric Tingwall, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I mean, if you drive where I drive or it's anything like it, just look around and it's everywhere. People have their eyes on their phone. At the stoplight, it turns green, nobody moves. You're moving on the highway, look around, texting going on all over.
It seems you can't drive anywhere these days without noticing somebody weaving in their lane or drifting out of their lane. In 2014, the most recent statistics we have, 3,200 people were killed in accidents involving distracted drivers. That's roughly 10% of all traffic fatalities. And about 430,000 people are injured every year in distracted driving accidents.
I mean, I don't have anything in principle against communication. People do it all the time. Humans love to do it. But is it clear that this connection between these deaths and the distraction due to texting or whatever it may be, is it a clear link? Is it obvious that that's what's causing these accidents?
It's not entirely clear. Those numbers I just cited are up about 1% or 2% from the year prior. And the numbers for 2015 traffic fatalities haven't yet been published, but NHTSA has said they expect those numbers to be up about 8 to 10%. And when they mention that, they're always mentioning distracted driving as one of the contributors there. Now, there's not a one-to-one link. The number of miles we're traveling every year is increasing due to low gas prices and the economy doing well. But clearly, the government agencies are concerned that distracted driving is increasing the number of deaths and injuries with traffic accidents.
I don't know if laws have much to do with it. There are plenty of laws out there, but they're hard to enforce and they seem lightly enforced. What is NHTSA? This is the National Highway Transportation, you tell me. What are their rules when it comes to what they expect and what goes into cars and that would take eyes off the road?
Sure. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they have a close relationship with automakers. One of the really interesting things about this topic that strikes me is the fact that how quickly we jump to automakers, legislators, law enforcement, expecting them to combat this issue, and how quickly we've left behind the phone makers in this discussion. But NHTSA's involvement here, they have set guidelines for automakers as far as in-car distractions, things that are part of the car, using the navigation system, tuning the radio. And they're guiding automakers with these voluntary guidelines, saying that no task should take more than 12 seconds, and to complete that task, you should be able to do it with glances that never take your eyes off the road for more than 2 seconds.
2 seconds, but aren't automakers loading cars with all kinds of new screens that could easily gobble up more than 2 seconds?
Well, I think for the most part, the automakers are pretty compliant with NHTSA's guidelines. There are a few exceptions. Generally, as a blanket rule, they won't let you type an address into a navigation system as you're driving down the road. The vehicle must be stopped or in park. There are some exceptions. A lot of the European automakers will allow drivers to do that. Tesla has a built-in web browser in its cars that driving down the road, you can pull up a web page. Seems pretty silly. As touchscreens have become part of our lives, things we carry around in our pockets, automakers think they're making their vehicles more desirable by putting touchscreens in the vehicles. Of course, as you say, without a volume knob or a physical button that can easily be controlled just by touch and not looking at it, now we're turning tasks like changing the radio station into something that requires taking your eyes off the road.
And people do. And, of course, the number one thing, I mean, we bring in all kinds of things. We bring in those cheeseburgers and we bring in, I don't know, everything into the car. But the cell phone, the smartphone we bring in, man, the things you can do on that and the amount of time it can mean eyes off the road are kind of amazing. And it shows up everywhere now. Eric, stand by for a second. Lots of people calling already. Elizabethtown, Kentucky, Kobe's calling. Kobe, you're on the air. What do you see out there?
Hi, Tom. I drive a truck for a living. I drive about 100,000 miles a year.
Okay.
And I can see down in most cars from up high in this truck. And I would say 7 out of 10 cars that pass me are either looking at a phone or an iPad. And it makes it really dangerous out here. I see, you know, there's not really a day that goes by where I don't see some kind of accident. And you just have to think that's definitely all related. So
this is your 7 out of 10, Kobe. You mean not just in their hand, but they're looking at it or doing something with it?
Correct. They actually have it, you know, up where they're looking at it, using it, not just sitting in their lap. It's an epidemic for sure.
There you've got it. Right off the highway. Stay safe in your truck, Kobe. I really appreciate your call. Eric Tingwell in Ann Arbor. Stand by. With us now from New York is Ben Lieberman, co-founder of the organization Distracted Operators Risk Casualties, otherwise known as DORCs. Ben's 19-year-old son, Evan, was killed in 2011 in a head-on collision. He was in the back seat while the driver, also 19, was apparently texting. Ben Lieberman, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
This cost your family dearly, and now here we are in 2016. Is it getting better or worse?
It's getting worse. The numbers are worse. I mean, Eric just mentioned some very interesting numbers, and the truth is that there's been a 10-year decline in crashes up until this year. It spiked dramatically, and you know, you could bring up those issues about gas prices down or more people are on the road, but it's so minor compared to that big spike. And also to completely mitigate those is that the fact that cars are being built better and drunk driving is down. So what's different now than was 10 years ago? And we strongly believe it's this addiction to devices.
Do you think people are really addicted?
I think that if they're not addicted, they're certainly seducted.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in there, someone sends a text to you, you feel bad if you don't reply. So you reply, even though you're hurtling down the highway or just driving in the street where there's pedestrians around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely gotten worse, and that's what we try to deal with is by addressing the problem, because we feel that, like these statistics, you know, that Eric mentioned that NHTSA has brought, they're startling stats, but they're clearly underreported because police can't evaluate properly right now. There's no real evaluation that goes on at the scene of a collision to specifically address this.
I'm looking at a study out from Virginia Tech here, saying that drivers who type a text message while the car is in motion are 6 times as likely to be involved in a crash. Just reaching for a phone or looking up a contact, browsing the internet, your risk of crash 3 times greater than normal. You're involved, Ben, with a move in New York State that's into the legislature now to come out with something like, we've got breathalyzers for drinking and driving. They call it a textalyzer for texting and driving. What is it? What would it do?
Well, what we did was we, again, going back to the issue that right now, what happened with my son is after the crash, what I noticed was that, you know, we were in the hospital for 31 days you know, initially the driver said he fell asleep and a lot of story didn't make sense to us. And during our stay in the hospital, a lot of our friends asked about texting, but, you know, we weren't really concerned about the reason. We were trying to take care of business, which is trying to save our son's life, which unfortunately we couldn't do. But we assumed the police would do their job. And what we learned was that the police rarely look at phones at all. And it's not their fault because there's no police protocol at all. And they're very worried about the privacy issues also.
Yep.
So until that gets addressed, we really think that the problem can't really be understood. And not only not understood, but people aren't being held accountable.
We got it. But what are you putting forward here? What's the idea?
So we have a law that allows that's in the New York legislation right now that allows the police to examine a phone in the field like a breathalyzer, how they administer a breathalyzer. It allows them to look at the phone through a technology that we're developing through a company. And the idea behind this is that the technology will not look at any content. In other words, we're trying to meticulously respect the privacy rights, but at the same time monitor usage.
But it will tell them whether you were on the phone at the time of the crash?
Yeah, it would tell them the usage on the phone, and it will be able to determine illegal versus legal use. Obviously, some ways to use the phone right now are legal, mm-hmm. and some are not. And so in other words, instead of seeing, it'll say if you were texting, if you were browsing apps, if you were doing various activities like that, taking a selfie, things that are really going on right now. However, it won't show any conversations, it won't show any contacts, it won't show any embarrassing pictures or conversations.
Yeah. Just were you texting or using the phone illegally at the time of a crash? What are you hoping that would do, Ben? Put some fear into people when they're doing this?
Well, I think right now, I think drunk driving, we made a lot of progress, and that's because it's not an urban legend. People are held accountable, and so that's what we're aiming to do here is to understand the issue so it's not underreported like what we believe is now, get the real stats, and then be able to deal with the people.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the deadly challenge of distracted driving in our always connected, often distracted lives. Even at the wheel, we text, we eat, and too often we crash. You can join us this hour. Is that you? One hand on the wheel, the other on your smartphone, your cheeseburger, your mascara. When you look left and right on the road these days, are you stunned by what people are up to? Are you up to all the same distracting stuff? When the stoplight turns green, does anybody move or is everybody glued to their texting? What is the answer to all this distracted driving? Eric Tingwall is with us, technical director for Car and Driver magazine from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ben Lieberman's here from New York. His 19-year-old son, Evan, was killed back in 2011. It looks like the driver of the car he was in was texting at the time. He's pushing a new bill in New York State for a textilizer, like a breathalyzer, but would show police after an accident, if you have been texting or illegally using your phone at the time of that accident. What do you think of that? With us right now as well from Blacksburg, Virginia, is Charlie Clower, research scientist at the Virginia Tech Transportation Institute, leader of the Teen Risk and Injury Prevention Group there. They put out a big study in February, the largest study of its kind ever, looking at distracted drivers. Charlie Clower, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Give us your big findings.
Well, in this particular study is a landmark study primarily because we instrumented over 3,000 vehicles with both cameras and data acquisition systems where we knew exactly how fast the driver was going, how hard they were braking, how hard they were cornering, how closely they were following other vehicles. And we were able to do this continuously. And so we really have a very good idea of exactly what drivers do in a wide variety of different traffic situations. And some of the primary findings we really found were that in 50% of random samples selected, we found that drivers were engaging in some sort of secondary task. So over 50%.
I mean, when they had an accident or something?
No.
Oh, you mean just driving?
Just driving.
Okay.
Just driving. Okay. Yes. And we found that a wide variety of different types of tasks are really increasing risk. And those, as you already mentioned, with cell phone, yes, cell phone dialing and texting increased risk 12 and 6 times that of an alert driver. But also drowsiness and using radios and a wide variety of other things increased risk of being involved in a crash.
Are smartphones driving this? How much of it goes to that? I mean, there's so much human communication going on there. Is that the irresistible item now?
Well, we see a lot of increased risk with these smartphones and these cell phones, The primary thing that we're really finding, though, is that when drivers are engaging in things that take their eyes off the road and some sort of physical manipulation like texting or dialing or reaching for their cell phone, for example, or reaching for other objects, those are the types of things where we really see an increased risk by 6 to 12 times that of an alert driver.
And is it worse than flip phones? I mean, there's no buttons on the phones now. You kind of have to look down to see what you're touching.
Yes, we believe that it is much more dangerous using smartphones because with a flip phone, I study teens for a living, and these teens used to tell me that they could text without looking. But that's not true with smartphones. And smartphones, not only you have to look in order to manipulate them, but the other thing is that they do so many more things. And so now we're seeing, you know, Snapchat and Instagram and email and Facebook and a wide variety of other things. And so that's really the concerning piece for us.
We've got lots of callers on this subject. Everybody sees it on the roads. Anita in Chelsea, Massachusetts. Anita, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. The reason I called is because yesterday morning I was leaving my residential neighborhood to access the main highway when I noticed a distracted driver behind me. It was a woman who had her left hand on her phone speaking. Her right arm was engaged in hand gestures off the wheel, as if she were speaking to people in front of her. And I became very agitated about it. I was in the left lane and wanted to pull over, but I could not. I was literally afraid she was going to crash into my car.
Well, she was driving with her knees or something, then Anita should have a self-driving car yet. But one hand on the phone. Oh, maybe. How do you do that?
Well, I don't know if that's a possibility. She was a thin, small woman. I don't know if she could even do that. I could see a man doing that, but I've never seen anything like this, that someone would think that what they had to do was so important that they had both hands off the wheel.
A lot of things on people's minds now. Anita, we've got it, and I appreciate it. Let me get one more. Buffalo, New York. Adam, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I drive around 6 hours a day for my job, and I'm almost constantly using something, whether I'm looking up directions or talking to clients. And, you know, the things that I see on the road is, like, I find that, a majority of guys will be texting with their phones, like, up in the air. But I see a majority of the girls that have their heads down, like, not even looking at the road, and it's really scary, you know?
You think a guy can text on his phone with it up in the air and see the road at the same time? Really? Is that what you're doing, Adam?
I feel like some people are better multitaskers. And I feel like some people are trying to be sneaky, so they try to hold their phone down, but then their head's down.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's better to be texting with your phone up. I'm saying it's never going to go away. And the best thing that we can do is, like, adapt to it. Like, maybe create like a heads up display, so like the phone is projected like onto your window or something, like where you can plug your cell phone in and have a heads up display on.
Yeah, we want to look at all the options.
Stop using it.
It does seem like it's pretty tough to get people to stop. Eric Tingwall at Car and Driver Magazine, is that out there? The idea of the text would come in right across your windshield, maybe, and is that safe? Would it be?
Well, you know, automakers are increasingly incorporating text-to-voice functions where if your phone is paired via Bluetooth to your car, the car will then read that text message to you, right? You won't be able to see it on a screen.
Okay.
But it will repeat it to you. And, you know, if you look at the different types of distractions, visual, cognitive, certainly visual is the most serious, the most distracting. And so taking that from a reading activity to a listening activity does make it safer.
How about it, Charlie? Does your research indicate that to you? That, I mean, what if we really get on the Silicon Valley people here, the phone makers, and say, look, make it so when you're in a car, you just can't text. It somehow, maybe it verbalizes the text. Maybe you can only give verbal, you can dictate text. Would that be better?
Yes, we believe our research does show that anything that keeps the driver's eyes on the forward roadway is going to improve safety. That when we do take the driver's eyes off the forward roadway, their reaction times increase, their ability to respond increases dramatically. And so we really need to push this technology so that drivers' eyes are able to stay on the forward roadway.
Ben, what's more important here, new technology? We'll look at more of it to keep people from texting or changing people's thinking about texting? You heard Adam in Buffalo say he doesn't believe we're ever going to stop people from doing this. It's just too, you know, human beings are wired to do it somehow.
Yeah, you know, I disagree with that a lot.
Okay.
I disagree, you know, with all due respect to Adam, I think that behavior, if you would have said in the 70s, you know, people are always, you know, nobody's going to give up their cigarettes. You know, people are smoking three packs of cigarettes a day.
Or they're always going to drink and drive.
They're always going to drink and drive. It's just because they're doing it doesn't mean it's right. And then once you see the ramifications and once you get the education, and again, you know, it's you know, so that's somebody that believes they can multitask and you know, they go about doing it. And he's thinking that it's better if you could multitask. Some people, I think the exact quote he said was, some people are better multitaskers than others.
Yeah.
Those are the exact people that we need to hold accountable if they do cause a crash. And right now, and that's what the legislation we're pushing for do. But I do disagree that it can't change. I think people are wearing seatbelts now. I think they're time and time again. We've once we've understood the problem and dealt with the problem, behavior can change. And I don't think it's just one thing like what I'm suggesting. I think, well, you know, other suggestions that are coming in are good suggestions. But I just think that people got to know. People have to learn that they're getting from point A to point B in their car, and not to turn it into a two-ton missile. That's the most important thing.
How do you change minds here? I mean, there's been a lot of effort already. Here's a 2012 PSA put out with the cast of the TV show Glee.
You're on your way to meet up with friends, but you can't seem to get anywhere quickly. You don't want your friends to be annoyed, so you text. You're on your way. Five seconds is the average time your eyes are off the road while texting, while driving. Make sure you get where you're going.
Looking up that address and boom, it's done right there. Deborah in Austin, Texas. Thank you for calling, Deborah. You're on.
Hi, Tom. So 2 years ago, my husband was walking on the sidewalk home from work, and a woman drove onto the sidewalk and hit him. And he was taken to the trauma hospital, was there for 5 days. It took a year for him to recover, broken fibula. She was distracted, she claims, by changing radio station. But I really think there needs to be a huge campaign. We need to be bombarded by phone companies, by the government, just ads showing us the risks, the consequences of being distracted. I think everyone should really keep their phone in their purse or their briefcase out, you know, should not even have hands free. It should not be even used in the car.
We got it. I'm sorry for your husband. I mean, hit on the sidewalk. It couldn't be more innocent than that, but driver distracted. I mean, Eric, it comes back to, in some ways, there's so many things here. Changing minds about whether this is acceptable. It looks acceptable these days to many people, though it's illegal and it's dangerous. There's the tech, there's the cars themselves and what they're equipped with. There's the phone makers. Where do you see the most promise here, Eric? I know we've got to let you go in a minute.
You know, I think one thing, personal responsibility is a huge factor here, right? And I think there are plenty of people, surveys out there that show 90%+ of people acknowledge texting while driving is dangerous, yet plenty of those people engage in the activity. So, you know, I think some of the things you can do, like the caller just recommended, keeping a phone in a purse or a briefcase or even a pocket that makes it more difficult to access than in a cup holder, putting it right in front of you. And there are plenty of apps out there. You can download them. AT&T has one called Drive Mode.
An app that does what, Eric?
They'll automatically activate as soon as they sense you're moving at a certain speed, and they will silence incoming text messages. You can often set them to silence incoming phone calls, and they'll limit your accessibility to certain functions on the phone, usually just the phone, maybe music and navigation as well. And so I think putting those kinds of apps on your phone and creating a little discipline for yourself is one of the best things that people can do to limit that temptation.
Sometimes self-discipline works. Sometimes we need to be overseen. Eric Tingwall, you're terrific at Car and Driver Magazine to join us today. Thanks a lot for joining us from Ann Arbor.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Ben Lieberman, what about it? You can now download an app voluntarily yourself that will kind of, you know, as Eric says, silence the texts that are coming in as you're driving. Is that enough, or do we need the government to get in here and do it, or is that an imposition on free speech and communication, Ben?
Yes, a couple of questions there. I'll try to answer them. Is that app a good idea? Yeah, it's a good idea. Anything that could help is a good idea. And to take it one step further, some of those apps actually send an auto reply. I'm driving. I'll answer back when it's safe. So it takes away that issue. So that's a nice thing to have. And then the other question you asked was, is that enough? And the answer, I'm sorry, I don't think it is enough. I think that, unfortunately, it's the good people that are doing that. You know, it's not the callous and cavalier or selfish or people that are underestimating their own ability to multitask. You know, those are the ones that aren't going to do that. And so that's what you got to kind of protect yourself about. You know, you could be doing everything right and somebody else could be ruining your life. So I don't think it's enough. I don't mean that government has to monitor you. The way we tried to balance that, this balance of interest that we had is – you know, with breathalyzers, there are times when police could pull you over for swerving on the road or for erratic driving and that type of thing. All legislation is specifically dealt for crashes. So it's at a time when investigation – that last caller, notice what she said. She said the whose husband was hit. She said she claimed she was changing her radio.
Right.
You know, we don't know what she was doing. We don't know. Nobody's getting out – and I've spoken to enough police about this. Nobody's getting out of the car after a crash and saying to a police officer, look, I'm really sorry. I was almost done typing that text when I hit that person. And to that kind of mea culpa, it's just a pipe dream. It's not happening. It's going to take actually understanding it. So unfortunately, I think it does take this element to get the understanding and then the accountability for this.
Yeah.
And that's when I think the needle moves in the right direction.
Personal responsibility is a big deal here, but it may be hard to get there until and unless – things get really serious. Here's Kate McGuire. She was about to graduate from high school in 2013, looked down at her GPS to find a McDonald's, struck and killed 61-year-old Howard Stein. Here's McGuire.
My car drifted into the breakdown lane on the side of the highway, and I hit a man, and I killed him. I'm responsible.
Matthew in Nashville, Tennessee. You hear the emotion in her voice, but that's after it's over. And terrible now for her and for Mr. Stein, who's gone. What do you think, Matthew?
Absolutely. My question, Tom, is what if my passenger is using my phone and I'm pulled over with this new technology? Am I going to be at fault just because my car was in a crash and my phone was in use, even though it wasn't in my hand and they scan it with this new technology? Or what if I, as the driver, use that as an alibi while I'm texting? I just passed my phone to my passenger. How is there any real accountability with that technology?
Ben, what do you say with your textilizer?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you actually answered the question when you continued. You know, the answer is we encourage people to deputize their passenger, and if they want to communicate, to give it to their passenger and to do that. There is technology that could tell what where the phone was, but the honest truth and what that caller just said. Is exactly right. If somebody is in the car with you and they're going to say that they were holding the phone, that's there's no reason to write that person up for that.
So how do you keep the alibi from being just made up on the spot?
Well, you know what, it happens. You know, it's something that there's not a crime in the country that if there's an armed robbery and somebody says he was at my, I'm going to vouch for him. He was at my house.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a big ask. I think it's a big ask to have somebody say, to a police officer or sign an affidavit that says I was holding the phone.
Right.
I think the vast majority of these collisions happen, number one, when people are alone and they're bored and that's where the addiction kicks in. But it does happen when there are multiple people in the car. But I think that's a minority. But then on top of that, they'd have to lie. And so now you're getting into perjury issues. So our legislation deals with understanding what was done at the point of a collision, and if somebody purges themselves, like somebody gets pulled over for speeding, they could switch seats with the passenger, and that happens, or things like that. So there are some things that are just unable, but we definitely don't want to be wrongly accusing somebody that gave the phone to a passenger.
But it doesn't mean don't do anything. Ben Lieberman, please stand by in New York. Charlie Clower in Blacksburg, Virginia. We're talking about the deadly challenge of distracted driving. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. talking this hour about the deadly challenge of distracted driving in our always connected, often distracted lives. Even at the wheel, we text, we eat, and too often we are crashing. That's just the fact of it. You can join us this hour. What's the answer to all this distracted driving? Is it technical? New ways to catch highway texters to shut down the distractions? Is it guilt? Figuring out how to shame people out of this behavior, like mothers against drunk driving? Should police be able to take your phone and see if you were talking, texting, playing Candy Crush at the time of an accident? Charlie Clower, she is research scientist at the Virginia Tech Transportation Institute, with us today from Blacksburg, Virginia. Ben Lieberman is here, co-founder of the organization Distracted Operators Risk Casualties. It's known as DORCS. His 19-year-old son, Evan, was killed in 2011. Driver of that car, apparently, distracted by smartphone at the time of that crash. In March, three teenagers killed in a car accident in Texas, distracted driving. ABC affiliate KTRK went to a vigil held for 18-year-old Brittany Johnson.
Johnson was among the three killed in a crash near Corpus Christi Sunday. They were on their way home from a spring break weekend when the driver of their vehicle, 18-year-old Shelby Coleman, was distracted by the GPS on her phone and lost control.
That's how it happens. There's a lot of technology coming into cars now. Some of it may save you if you're distracted, but it may also encourage you to be distracted. Listen to this. Here's a review by a reporter for the Kelley Blue Book of the new Honda Civic, and they praise the safety features, especially important in this age when drivers may not always have their eyes on the road, but wait for the punchline here.
In another step towards the inevitable future of automated driving, the Civic can also be had with Honda Sensing, a suite of active safety features that includes Lane Keep Assist, Adaptive Cruise Control, Forward Collision Warning, and the extremely helpful sounding Road Departure Mitigation.
As a safety net, Honda Sensing works really well, gently steering the car back into its lane or warning of impending danger ahead during brief moments of inattention. I guess another solution might be to actually pay attention, but who does that these days?
Who does that these days? Charlie Clara, what about all these new technologies coming in? You're at Virginia Tech there. Here, Lane Keep Assist and Adapt Forward Collision Warning, Road Departure Mitigation. Those may help, but do they also make people feel more free to not pay attention?
Well, yes, we think that those technologies are going to improve safety for a wide variety of reasons, not just distraction, but a wide variety of other reasons. However, we really – people do need to take personal responsibility. And those vehicles are – it's going to take a long time for them to really penetrate the market and penetrate the fleet that's on our roadways today. Drivers really need to pay much more attention. They need to be – they need to understand the risks. And I think your caller previously who said just that, that – drivers need to understand the risks of what happens when they take their eyes off the forward roadway. You know, one thing that we talk about a lot is this 4 seconds, eyes off the forward roadway. You know, when you're going 55 or 60 miles per hour, you travel the length of a football field in that time.
Yeah.
And people need to understand how important that is and that taking your eyes off the road is just extremely dangerous. Part of the problem there is that people do that and they actually get away with it. They get away with it quite a bit of the time because crashes are actually quite rare. But the problem is they only get away with it until they don't. And then it's a travesty. And so people just really need to be educated and understand those risks. And we definitely need a shift in safety culture.
Those are odds that you don't want to mess with because we see what can happen. Dean in Austin, Texas, on the road right now, I see here. Dean, thanks for calling. What do you see?
Yes, hi, Tom. I'm on the road every day. I'm a sales rep from Austin, San Antonio, to Corpus Christi, to Brownsville. A lot of things you've been talking about are happening all around me. They're in the news. I see them every day. I see them on the street. I agree with a lot of your callers. For one point, I just wanted to say maybe a docking, some kind of docking solution that the cell phone companies can get in on. You get in your car, you have to dock your phone or it won't work while the car's driving. Something like that in the future. And two, you know, I'm a father of two, and I see the rapid pace that this problem is growing at. Every single day in multiple towns when I'm driving, I see people, like you said, stopped at lights. They're not moving, or maybe they're in the fast lane and they're causing traffic. People are swerving around them. Road rages is happening. It causes many different complications and problems, and the rapid growth is really what's profound to me.
Yeah.
I've been driving for 23 years. I've never seen anything like it.
When you say a docking, do you mean like dock it to lock it? You'd have to put your phone into a dock that would incapacitate it while you're driving, Dean? at least texting?
I'm just trying to think of any kind of idea that can take the phone out of the hand and force it to be some kind of Bluetooth device only, and that's the only way you can use it in a car. Once car designers and phone companies get in on some idea like that and start moving forward, I think we can really get somewhere and involve policies and legislations, obviously, all those things involved. But a mask, back to one of your callers from Austin, I'm from Austin, another great idea. You know, a mask campaign is needed. Something is needed for the future.
I appreciate so much your call, Dean. And you're thinking of your two kids and you know, a lot of kids out there, just people out there, distracted drivers. You know, we know it can happen. We've got to get it right. Charlie Clower, should we be just paying more attention here? Automakers and phone makers, do they have a responsibility that they're not really picking up? When you look at what is actually going on, they're not really responding to it in a way to just lock this whole problem down.
Well, I would argue the same with Eric Tingwall, who argued that NHTSA and the car companies are really working hard to address this issue. And I think, you know, there are some exceptions to that, but for the most part, they are working really hard. The cell phone industry needs to do the same. We need to follow suit, and they need to really start helping their users and their customers to improve the use of this system safely while they are driving.
What could they do?
You can't ignore
what could they do?
Well, you know, some of these apps that have been discussed are one way.
But those are voluntary, and what percentage of people have those on their phones? I mean, realistically.
Yes, and I have no idea. That's a very good question.
You know, it's small. I've never sent a text to somebody and got an answer back saying, sorry, I'm driving now.
Yes, that is true. I think that, you know, the way Bluetooth and some of these newer integrated systems that are coming out, There is a movement in this direction, but it's very slow, and we need to work on that.
Francis in Canton, Ohio. Francis, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi. You know, I think that really we've got a very complex problem we're faced with here, and it's not. You know, I think that one of the biggest things is the psychological aspect that folks think that they're missing something when they're driving. That phone call, that text. You know, if you run a small business like I do, you might think you're missing a large amount of money, you know, coming in or something along those lines. And I think that the biggest solution, honestly, for me personally, would be some really great advances in voice recognition software. It doesn't work well. So when I'm speaking to my phone, I'm looking down to see, is it getting what I'm telling it?
Right.
You know? So then I'm feeling really nervous about using it. I abandon, you know, whatever it is I'm doing.
Right.
Because I don't feel comfortable looking at my phone while I'm driving.
Yep.
So I think that, and in the last call I talked about a Bluetooth docking system, and I think that if we have the technology that our cars can sense when we get in the vehicle with the phone and it makes a connection, you know, and we have, you know, the technology, you know, with better voice recognition, I think if you pair those two things, you might be able to get some people to on board, you know, to...
So make it all voice.
Their phones while they're driving.
Yep, make it all voice. Keep it out of people's hands. Don't be looking down at it. Francis, let me hold that and get one more call right here from Iowa City, Iowa. Ruth is calling. Hi, Ruth, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm a cognitive psychologist.
Okay.
And study complex cognitive processing. A group out of the University of Utah has done a whole series of really nice studies on distracted driving and cell phone use.
Okay.
And one of them, they compared hands-free devices and found that it's not the hands-free, it's not the device that is the major distraction.
What is it?
It's the cognitive complexity of the phone call itself, the conversation, that is the major distraction. So all these hands-free applications aren't going to help. And the level of distraction due to the conversation was similar to that of drunk driving.
So you're saying, Francis, in Ohio, voice recognition might sound good, but the study out of Utah shows that you're still distracted when you're in a voice, a hands-free conversation?
Correct. You are. It's the conversation that is the burden, not the phone itself.
Ruth, I really appreciate your call. Ben Lieberman, we got testimony witness from all over the place here. What are you thinking as you listen to this how Americans are grappling with this?
Well, I think they're all really good points. I think that the last caller made. I'm familiar with that University of Utah study, and she's right. Look, it doesn't take an academic to study to say that if you take your eyes off the road, you're more likely to crash. And Charlie, you know, use that statistic about driving, you know, the average text is 4 seconds and it's driving a football field blindfolded. And that's very powerful. And that study in Utah does say that this is the big mistake that everybody's making, is that you're saying that hands-free is risk-free, and it's not. And the truth and the reality of this, and people aren't going to like hearing this, and I'm not suggesting that we make it illegal or anything like that, but if we really want to be honest here on what the reality is it's very hard. When I ask this question, have you ever driven while you were on Bluetooth and missed your exit? And I think it's been unanimous. I don't think I've ever found somebody that says it doesn't happen.
It tells you something.
So the distraction's there, and a lot of the suggestions to do things. But at the end of the day, we can try to make the automakers do this, and we could try to make the phone carriers do that. But really, it's the real important thing is to make the people do this. You know, make the drivers do this, and that's where the heart of the problem is, and that's where it's really got to. That's where the problem. I'm sorry. That's where the solution really lies, in my opinion. Everything else is it's kind of Band-Aids, and it's kind of like, you know, and one thing that you know, the automakers are not really spending that much time solving this problem as it is right now. And I think what's going on with all the technology that they're offering us, because that's one of the few ways they could differentiate cars now with how technology has gotten with cars. Unfortunately, what's going on is we're being offered filtered cigarettes and we're being offered low-fat ice cream. You know, that's what's kind of going on. We're kind of, you know,
instead
my
of getting
kids,
right at the heart of it, yeah.
You know, but people don't lose weight on low-fat ice cream as a program.
Yeah.
People, you know, filtered cigarettes are really dangerous. And, you know, my kids used to say to me, you know, I need the radio on when I do homework. It helps me concentrate. Yeah. I know they'd like to believe that. You know, it sounds good. And all this, like, oh, just make it voice and everything like that sounds good. But it's really, you know, the point is we're going from, as I said before, we're going from point A to point B. And you're really not going to be losing a ton of money in that period of time. You know, you're not going to miss a party. You're not going to do that. And I think that's where the training really has to go in and stop being fooled by this need that we have to be connected at these moments or else our life's going to fall apart.
Sally in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Sally, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm a mom of three. I have many people in this world I love, and I'm terrified for all of us because of distracted drivers. And when I'm on the road and I see this behavior, I feel so helpless. I want to do something. And I'm wondering if it's possible to put the word out there. I don't want to create road rage. Oof, that would be terrible. But, boy, what if we all just leaned on our horns when we saw this behavior to let the person in the car know, we see you. We see what you are doing, and we disapprove, and you're putting our lives in danger. What if the entire country allowed itself to lean on the horn and embarrass the heck, or maybe alert the person who's doing it thoughtlessly, hey, you can't do this.
A little honk shaming there. It's going to be an awfully noisy country, Sally. but I understand the impulse. I mean, try and change the frame of mind about this. Try and alert people to the fact that this is not safe and bad things happen. Appreciate your call, Sally. Let me go to Middlebury, Vermont right now, and Terry Gogan, graduating senior at Middlebury College there. He's designed an app called Joyride with a Y in there, which incentivizes safe driving. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. If you want to try a beta version, we've got it at our website, onpointradio.org. Terry, how's it work? What's it do?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me. So Joyride is an app that allows people, like we've mentioned before, to take responsibility and to put the safety of other people in their own hands. So what Joyride does is it keeps track of how far you go without using your cell phone, and that's no texting, no Snapchatting, no Facebooking, no Instagramming, and it keeps track and it gives you points for every mile you travel without using your phone. And then you can go redeem those points at fast food chains, e-commerce sites. We're trying to get sports tickets available, you know, tickets to the Patriots or the Red Sox, you name it. So really, really incentivizing people to do the right thing.
And so lay off the phone and maybe you've got something good coming to you. Try and turn the psychology around, I guess, is the idea, Terry.
Exactly. It's behavioral change because Like many callers have suggested, we really have to put the responsibility in the hands of the driver. And, you know, it's funny, the Wellesley call was funny. It would be a noisy country, but hopefully Joyride can take all those honking away and contribute a little more positive light.
Terry Gogan, graduating senior at Middlebury College in Vermont, working on it there, behavioral psychology. Terry, good luck with that. We'd love to see it take off. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Charlie, where do you think we're really going to do or go here with this problem? You know this country. You know the technical and psychological problems or issues here. How do you think this is likely to unfold?
Well, if I can just back up for a little bit, yeah. I'd like to address some of the previous callers. The studies that have been done at the University of Utah have really demonstrated that cognitive distraction is prevalent in a wide variety of the use of voice to text systems. We really believe that voice to text technologies are a really big improvement in this area, but they're not quite there yet. We need to continue to improve that technology so that does reduce not only cognitive distraction, but it certainly is going to reduce the visual distraction, which is this is obviously the bigger problem here. So allowing technology to continue to develop is going to be a big, huge improvement. Personal responsibility is the second big point here. Drivers really need to take responsibility. They need to better understand the risks of these types of tasks, and they need to really focus and make sure that they, too, are keeping their eyes on the Ford roadway as much as possible.
Are we going to have self-driving cars come along in time to save us from this, or do we really have to work on solutions in the meantime, right now?
No, we need to be working on them right now. Self-driving cars are not going to save our generation, and so we need to be vigilant.
Charlie Clower in Blacksburg, Virginia, at Virginia Tech Transportation Institute. Thank you so much for being with us today, Charlie.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Ben Lieberman, who is pushing the textilizer in the New York State Legislature. It is on the docket there. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Listeners, drive safely. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.